Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for the cross. I thank you for your work and your grace in my life and the lives of these ladies sitting here. I thank you for what you want to do going forward and what you can do. Lord, I thank you for the power of your word, the power of your spirit using your word specifically applied to our hearts. And Lord, I'm banking on that tonight, and I thank you that you can take your word and minister it to each heart that's here. And Lord, I pray that in just the way that it's needed. So Lord, help us now to just look into your word about renewing your mind. And Lord, may we walk away with a new fervor to do that. It's in your name I pray. Amen. So I've had to drink a lot of water since I've been here. I've been educated, personally educated on the altitude sickness, but we're doing much better. Okay. This topic is, like, I don't know if I think I said this already, but I'm just thrilled to be able to come and talk about this. This topic is not new to me. It's actually very much a joy to speak on something that the Lord has used in my own life so, so much. Many years ago, I was in desperate need of the truths I'm going to share with you tonight. I was really struggling with depression, debilitating depression that I found myself in. I had past concerns that were a very present day problem for me. Past issues that I hadn't worked out biblically, I certainly hadn't renewed my mind on. And the work that God did was so life-changing through this, and I thank him for it. So it's become a passion of mine to help other women to know just how life-changing real renewal is, and to encourage those that are renewing their mind. And another reason, besides my own life and how God has been able to help me, I've seen women who were dealt with women, talked with women who are cutters, who are enslaved, or I should say were enslaved to the misuse of pain medication, suffering greatly with panic attacks, even daily panic attacks, struggling with same-sex attraction, caught in the chains of anorexia, bound in the ramifications of sins that have grown out of perhaps a child sexual abuse experience. Women who have literally lived their life for the approval of others. That was me. And I've seen the Lord take these women and become amazing trophies of God. And living in the freedom from those things. Only God in his word can do that. There's no therapy that's going to straighten them out. Not that talking about something doesn't help some, but as far as life, true transformation from the inside, lifelong change, it doesn't happen without God and his word. So because these women effectively learned to renew their mind and did it, that's a huge reason why they're trophies of God's grace today. And each one of those people, I've got people in mind as I read that list, and each one of them are serving the Lord They are free from their bondage. And I give God praise for that. Okay, so let's start with your notes. So let's dig into this, and let's see what God has for us. And I know that if we're Christians, God has been doing a work trying to have his word renew our minds, and that happens some just by sitting under it and reading it. But let's just talk about first, in basic, what do I mean by renewing the mind? Okay, and we're going to say a couple of things here. It means to prayerfully bring God and his truth into our specific thoughts and embrace them for God's glory, our good, and our walk with Christ. Or we could say it is to practically take individual thoughts captive and conform them to Christ and his truth, bringing destruction to fortresses the evil one is working to erect in an attempt to keep God at bay in our lives and eclipse his glory. So that's a mouthful. To practically take individual thoughts captive and conform them to Christ and his truth, bringing destruction to fortresses the evil one is working to erect in an attempt to keep God at bay in our lives and eclipse his glory. Though I don't normally spill all the beans right at the beginning like this, I just thought that would be really helpful for us tonight. I think it'll help us think through the topic better, having that understanding up front. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 through 6. I want us to look at that. Let's just read that real quick, because I don't think we have that one written out, do we? No. Okay, 2 Corinthians 10, 5 through 6. Okay. Paul here says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. So there was at the time, of course, some major anti-gospel philosophies that the Corinthians were dealing with. And so the word thought in those verses can mean an ideology, or it can mean a simple thought. The actual word there can mean both things. And Paul may very well be breaking those ideas they were dealing with, those ideas and those philosophies, down to the very thoughts that support them. So in that way, that passage can certainly apply to what we're talking about tonight. The point is that for us, in 2 Corinthians alone, multiple times, Paul alludes to the schemes of the evil one, and we should be aware that he desires to use what we let go on in our minds very strategically. And he will, if we let him. So this alone, that fact alone, is enough for us to want to renew our minds, right? But let's just talk about why else is it so important. Okay, first of all, because most of all, our lives and our relationships, our deeds, our thoughts, our marriages, our parenting, most of all, everything about us is first and foremost a vertical thing between us and God. Whether we're talking about our marriages, we should live our marriages in a vertical way before the Lord. 1 Kings 8:23 says, O Lord, God of hosts, there is no God like you in heaven above or on the earth beneath, keeping covenant, showing loving kindness to your servants who walk before you with all their heart. Psalm 119 tells us, "Blessed are those who seek him with their whole heart, and all our ways are before him." We live our life before the Lord, and that includes our thoughts. We don't always think about that. We tend to think about our actions, but our thoughts are very much lived before the Lord. And the fact is, A on your outline, our mind, our thinking, is a very integral part of our heart. Now, we heard about that as well in the big session, but I don't think it'll hurt us to review it. So the mind is so closely related to the heart that sometimes in Scripture it's used synonymously. Actually, quite often in Scripture it's used synonymously. And it's definitely depicted, the mind is definitely depicted as inseparable from the heart. So when we talk about our heart in the Bible, we're not just talking about our emotions or our desires or even just our beliefs. We're talking about what's going on in our mind, because all of those things are made up of our thoughts. Why don't we get started with you all helping me out here, and we'll just read the next three verses, and we'll start on the very end of that row we pointed out to begin with. So Hebrews 4:12. Or the next person can do that.
Okay, that's fine. The thoughts and intentions of the heart.
So Hebrews 4:12 talks about the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Okay. Luke 5:22.
Jesus says to the Pharisees, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts?"
Proverbs 23:7.
Talks about the stingy man and says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so he is."
Okay, so the mind is not just that thing that we sometimes think we're losing because we are so confused or irate, or it's not just where information is stored that we have a hard time remembering when we get older, or even just where we formulate what we believe. Our mind is a very personal part of us that is engaged in personal and moral interactions with everything going on around us. Okay, let's say that again. The mind is a very personal part of us that is engaged in personal and moral interactions with everything going on around us. So it's no surprise, by the way, this is a good way to picture the heart, okay? So it's no surprise that God cares greatly about our thoughts. They are immensely important to him. And then in holiness and love, he pays attention. Because of his holiness, because of his love, he pays attention to our thoughts. Let's read these next verses. 1 Samuel 16:7.
"For the Lord sees, not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart."
James 6:5.
"Saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time."
Every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart. Ezekiel 11:5.
"God told the people of Israel, 'I know the thoughts that come into your mind.'"
Jeremiah 10:12.
In the heart.
Okay. So number two, in holiness and love, he commands us concerning our thoughts. Okay, let's read these. Ephesians 4:23.
"You're renewed in the spirit of your mind."
Romans 12:2.
"Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind."
Philippians 4:8.
"Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is true, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, not good, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things.
Dwell on these things. In Mark 12:30.
In a list, he tells us, love the Lord our God.
Love the Lord our God with all your mind. Okay, and then number three, his worthiness and grace deserve it, deserves our renewing. Let's read these verses, Revelation 4, 11. We'll have to go back on this side, the next row back, if you would.
Worthy are you, our God, to receive glory and honor.
Romans 12, Paul urged, because
the mercies of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God.
So that includes our minds. Our bodies include our minds. 1 Samuel 12:24.
Only fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart, and consider what great things he has done for you.
Okay, so we want to renew our minds because he deserves it. He deserves it for his worthiness and for all he has done for us. And obviously, God cares about those thoughts because he wants our good. He wants our good. And I'm not talking about good like how the way that bad tasting medicine is good for us, or exercise, or this good is blessedness. This good is the best we could possibly hope for. So he wants our good. That's another reason he pays attention to our thoughts. God cares and commands about our thinking for the same reasons he cares and commands about every other thing he commands about. And Deuteronomy 6:24 tells us what that is. I'll read that one. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always. So these things are certainly for God's glory, but they're also for our very, very good. So we'll understand just how true that is, exactly how good that is as we go on tonight and tomorrow. Perhaps one of the greatest reasons that we should renew, and one of the greatest reasons that is so important, is because of how much we ladies think. Okay? We may talk a lot. Now, not everybody. Some people are more on the quiet side. But we think a whole lot more than we talk, don't we? Our minds are not the least bit passive. One of the best reasons God speaks to our thoughts so much is because our minds are always going, going, going. They're like the ever-ready battery. They never stop. Even if you feel that you're losing it because you can't remember why you went to the kitchen, does that happen to anybody else? I can be at one end of the house, and by the time I get to the other end of the house, I cannot remember why I went there or what I was after. Even though we feel like our mind is not working the way we would like it to work, it is still alive and well enough to get us into trouble, isn't it? The National Science Foundation says that women think at least 60,000 thoughts a day. Okay, that's you. At least 60,000 thoughts a day or more, depending on how fast you think. We're talking today, or tonight, about the inner commentary that's always going on inside of us. Always going on with the world around us. Let's face it, we talk to ourselves all the time. No matter what we're doing, we are always speaking to our heart. We're always interacting, always reacting in our minds to our husbands, whether it comes out of our mouth or not. There's something going on up there. Everything that's happening in our lives, everything that has happened in our lives, we've interacted with our thinking. Sometimes we've built great patterns of thinking with the things that have gone on in our lives in the past, or maybe the things that are going on in our lives right now. We say a great deal in our hearts, and that's why God and His truth must be an integral part of it. God actually, I hadn't really seen this before I really thought more about renewing my mind. But God actually addresses what's said in the heart and makes mention over and over in the scriptures of what's said in different people's hearts, in different Bible characters' hearts. We have passages like this about Abraham, Esau, David, Haman, Jeroboam, the wicked, the righteous. It talks about what is people are saying in their hearts. Let's read those passages, a few of those passages. I think that's supposed to be Psalms 14:1. where are we? Are we back that way? Yeah, Psalm 14:1.
Psalm 52. The Lord talks about how the one who really dwells speaks the truth in his heart.
In Deuteronomy 8:16.
He addresses the Israelites who are not to say in their hearts.
Yeah, I didn't write that passage, but he's talking about don't say this in your heart. You know, and with complaining or not believing God. So what have you been saying in your heart? How about on the tough days, or when you're frustrated, or when you're hurt in your marriage? Have you really paid attention? Is it being transformed, changed by God and His truth, or just hanging there, discouraging, driving your actions, and causing perhaps destruction or depression? Are there thoughts like these that are ever just, they go by and we go, well, we move on to the next thing, or we know that's not a good thought, so we just try to think about something else or get engaged with something else, or we contemplate it over and over and over. But thoughts like these: I am not the wife that I should be. He is not the husband he should be. We are just too different. This is not the marriage I thought I would have. How dare he? I know what he's thinking, or I know what they're thinking, or he or she or they are on my last nerve. I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous around people. My son or my daughter is not saved, and they are just going as far and as fast in the wrong direction as they can. I'm so afraid of blank happening. What's going to happen when we think those things and we just leave them there and we don't do anything with them? We don't bring God's truth. We don't bring who God is. They're going to be very difficult to handle, and they're going to have great impact on our heart and on our lives. So our thoughts, though they might seem insignificant to us at the time, they're not. And they're not to God. And they have great, great effect. We can further actually see how this works and how important our thoughts are by this flow chart. I don't know if you've ever seen this before. Did my husband use this in the other session? I wasn't there the whole time. So here's how it works. And this is a flow chart built off of the passage of Proverbs 4:23, that everything flows out of our heart, okay? So we have our thoughts, our beliefs, our attitudes. We could put in there our desires, our agendas, our hopes. All of those things are a part of our heart, and they all involve our thoughts. Okay, so we have our thoughts, and from there we have our feelings. Now, unless you have a definite, specific, physiological thing going on that may help you with bad feelings, like, you know, sometimes, you know, hypothyroidism, or sometimes if you have a heart valve problem, you can feel anxious. That time in the month can really help us feel things, right? Or messed up hormones, or... But anyway, outside of something really physiological going on, which, yes, may be on occasion, for the most part, our feelings come from what we're thinking. Okay? So our feelings, our emotions are going to be a direct result of what we're thinking. And then that's going to drive our actions. And if we think that enough, and we feel that enough, we're going to build a habit pattern. We're going to build a character or a habit pattern. Because we're thinking it over and over again, we're feeling it over and over again, and we're acting out of it over and over again. And then it becomes a habit pattern that is not unbreakable. It's not, you know, we can get out of that with the truth of God and applying some principles for habit, for life-dominating things. But this is how, you know, our everything flows out of our thoughts, what's going on in the mind. Paul Tripp has said, there is no one more influential in your life than you, because no one talks to you more than you do. And that's why what we say and how we think about what is happening is far, or what has happened, or what might happen, is far, far more important, far more impactful than what has actually happened. It's way more impactful than the event that has happened or what we think might happen, is how we are thinking about it, what we believe about it, what our inner commentary is about it. How we think about something is what really makes or breaks us. And to a large degree, it's what will determine how we fare in the Christian life and in our lives and in our relationships. So our thinking plays a huge role also in whether we honor God or not, because you can understand why, right? So this verse and diagram also shows us, which has been so marvelously, miraculously accomplished by God for me in big ways, that we don't have to be at the mercy of our ruling emotions or our old patterns if we renew our mind. It's not an overnight thing, but you can see that if we begin to work from the mind, we don't have to be at the mercies of our emotions and our feelings. And we don't have to live based on the circumstances of our life. Unlike we're told very often that you've had this happen in your life, you're never going to be the same, you're never going to quite be like other people, and you're going to struggle with this for the rest of your life. How depressing is that? And I'm thankful. And I'm here to tell you that was proved untrue. God's word is true. And God says that by the renewing of our minds, we can change. There's a lot more involved, too. I mean, there's other things involved in there, too. But definitely without the renewing of our mind, we will not change. So when we talk about renewing, we're talking about affecting that very personal, integral part of us that is always engaged in what's going on around us with who God is and His truth. The fact that we think so much and our thinking affects everything is a key reason why what goes on in our minds is so important to the Lord and to us. And also taking thoughts captive is so important because there is no real abiding in Christ without it. Have you ever thought about that? You know, do you desire to really abide in Christ? You know, and to really walk with Him? We can't do that without renewing our minds. We've already seen how the one who really dwells with Him speaks truth in his heart. And John 15 says, "No branch can bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." See there, we can't have that fruit if we're not abiding in Him. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." And then a little later he says, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love." Now in the part that's not there, John 15:7, it says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you." Okay, and in John 15:10 says, "If you hold fast to my commandments, you will abide in my love." If you are holding fast to my commandments, you will be abiding in my love. So in the abiding and the word dwelling in us and us bringing that into our thinking is very connected to our abiding in Christ. His word must be operating in our inner woman. And I know I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over again, but my goal tonight is for us to be so gripped by the importance of this and the impactfulness of what goes on in our minds. The truth is, we don't have a chance at glorifying God. Not in our marriages, not in our relationships, not in our lives. We don't even have a chance of implementing everything that we're hearing at this conference unless we are going to renew our minds on these things, renew our thoughts. So why else is it so important to renew the mind? Number four, because there is no transformation into Christ's likeness without it. Romans 12:2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." That's how the change from the inside out works. It's by the renewing of our mind. It's the Holy Spirit taking the truth of God that is taken up by us when it counts, okay, that sanctifies us from the inside out. Have you ever felt like you're just going through the Christian life and you're just trying to stick on like post-it notes, this Christian way of living, the behavior that you know you're supposed to have, you're just trying to get it to stick and they just keep falling off and you don't know why, and you pick them back up and try to stick them back on you. And that's sometimes what we do instead of being transformed from the inside out by the renewing of our minds. So yet another reason that it's so important for us to renew our minds is because there is no real peace, joy, and freedom without it. And we've kind of talked about this already, that we're not going to be free of those things that trouble us that have perhaps happened. We're not going to know real peace and real joy without bringing God and His truth into our thoughts. Let's read these verses that are under here. Starting with Isaiah 26:3. Where are we?
"Help keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you."
Psalm 119:45-50.
"Remember your word to your servant, which you have made me whole.
This is my comforting reflection that your word has revived me.
Psalm 119:28.
My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word.
Okay, and Psalm 19 tells us that the one who values and meditates his heart on the word about the Lord and his promises can have his soul restored and his heart rejoiced. And it's not that you just, it's not that we're having a difficult thought and we go, okay, bring in some word, rejoice in the Lord always. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to take that thought we're actually having, and what is the truth about God, the truth about that thing that I can bring into it, and I can pray to the Lord about it, and I can begin to renew my mind. Anxiety is a thought process. We learned that from Philippians 4, right? And renewing can change our emotions. And finally, well, why else is it so important to pay attention and renew our thoughts? Because of all that is corrupting our thinking. There is a lot that is working against us, okay? We need to understand that, okay, we're here, there's because of all the things that is corrupting our thinking. So you don't have these points, but I'm just going to give them to you. Our thinking is corrupted by, can you think of what is corrupting, helping to corrupt our thinking? Somebody raise your hand so we can hear you nice and loud. If you can think of something that is helping to corrupt our thinking or helping our thinking going in the wrong direction.
The world.
Exactly. Colossians 2:8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to the human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Anything else you can think of that's helping us to not think the way we should think, that is kind of working against us? The flesh. So we could say us, because the flesh is a part of us still until we reach heaven. Galatians 5:17, even if we're saved and we're given a new kind of heart, we still have the flesh. It says that the flesh sets its desire against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh, for these things are in opposition to one another. Anything else you can think of?
Satan.
Exactly. 2 Corinthians 11:3 says, who by his craftiness wants to lead our minds astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. So our thoughts can help transform us or conform us to this world. They can help us to follow our flesh or to walk in the spirit. They can delight the evil one and help accomplish his designs, or they can improve our abiding in our great God and Savior. They can either help strengthen us and rejoice our heart, or they can undo us and render us weak. They can render us ruled by our emotions, hopeless and bitter. They can improve our walk with Christ and improve our marriages, or they can wreak havoc with the same. So if this renewing is that important, obviously we need to know more about it, and we're going to get into the how-tos tomorrow. It's going to be much more practical tomorrow on exactly how this works and how we can specifically renew our minds. But first, we need to understand that what it basically means. And first of all, it does not mean positive thinking, okay, or the law of attraction. You just think it and it will come to you, the secret. Now, you know, we laugh, but there are so many people out there living by that. And they actually see it kind of happen. They see some of that happen. But it's an evil delusion from the pit. Satan can do a whole lot of things to encourage us to believe delusions. He will deceive us, even by allowing something to come about. But it's a very godless, wicked thing to live by that. We're supposed to live by the Word of God and
trust his control and all those things. So anyway, it's not the secret. It's not cognitive behavioral therapy. You know, you're thinking this, just don't think that, think this instead. It's not that. And we'll unpack that a little bit more. It's not those things because the motivation is different. It's God's glory, not mine. Okay, a lot of positive thinking. You are so great. You can do it. But the motivation is God's glory in renewing the mind. The content is different. It's not just you telling yourself stuff, you know, that's good or happy or pleasant, or it's God's truth that we want to tell ourselves. The source is different. Okay, the source of what you're saying to yourself is different, and that's God's grace and God's strength. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Okay, so it's also not, I have to speed up here, it's not trying to ignore, distract, or even just focus on something else. So as a young believer, struggling greatly with things I had not worked through biblically with the Lord or his word, I really misused Philippians 3:13. But one thing I do, forget what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on with Jesus. I'm just going to forget all those people. I'm just going to forget all, try to ignore whatever happened and move on. Well, I'm here to tell you, it doesn't work. It may seem like it is for a while, but it will not. It's not sustainable. And it actually will hurt us in the long run. It's actually the worst thing we can possibly do because we're creating a dichotomy in our life. That there are areas of our life that God and his word and his truth have nothing to do with. And so God's not so real to us. And if he's not so real to us, obviously, there won't be any real transformation. So as hard as it may be, we must first admit reality and then bring him and his truth into it. This is what God wants. He wants to be brought into every part of our lives, every commentary of our lives, and see how his truth applies and what difference it can make and should make. Trying to see what we can skip over here. So this, I'm just going to try to forget it all and all of that, it's not a good thing, and it's not renewing in any shape or form. The best and most blessed thing is to invite God into everything. And the thing is, his word, he and his word can handle it. You know, sometimes we think there's nothing there that can touch this one, you know, that can help me in this. And it's not true. God can handle it, and his word can handle it. Okay, so our great hope, and by that I mean our comfort and our surety, is that God and his word does have relevancy to all of life. And there's nothing that cannot be renewed. Nothing. I don't care how bad it is or how much of a pattern it is, or there's nothing that cannot be renewed. Though working through our thoughts with God and his truth may not be the immediately easiest thing to do, it's the most blessed and it's the most life-changing. So renewing cannot and must not be subverted or left off by ignoring issues or by its counterfeits. And most importantly, our efforts to take thoughts captive brings the Lord great glory. And to end our time, let's just look at a fuller definition. To, with God's help, intentionally make new a wrong or incomplete thought to be more in line with Christ's kind of thinking, and I'm leaving blank what that is, by specifically, personally, prayerfully applying the word to our actual thoughts in our situations and our struggles. Sometimes it has to be after, because sometimes we can't think too clearly in the middle of what's going on. But definitely we have to do it after then. So, but help me out here. What is Christ's kind of thinking? What is Christ's thinking like, if you could describe it?
Father's glory.
The Father's glory. So he's got God's glory in mind. Uh-huh. And somebody said?
Obedient.
Obedient. What else is Christ thinking like?
Holiness.
What is it?
Holiness.
Holiness.
Pure, lovely, and true.
That was a mouthful. Pure and loving and true. Loving is a big one there. Both of those, definitely. I like to say truthful. His thoughts are full of truth. What else? Can you think of anything else? How about, you said truthful, hopeful, thankful, holy, loving, and God and others focused. That's what Christ's thinking is like. So if we're not thinking hopeful, thankful, trusting, then we've got some real renewing to do, right? And we need the Word of God to do that. The Word of God needs to be brought in. How about a briefer definition? I know it's 9:30, but we're almost done. A briefer definition, very simple, keeping the heart. Okay, that's that Proverbs 4:23. Again, keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flows the springs of life. Deuteronomy 4:9, only give heed to yourself and keep your soul diligently. Okay, so here the Lord, through Solomon and Moses, is talking about paying attention and maintaining, keeping what goes on in our minds, and it's much like tending a garden. It is using the word, those aren't supposed to be on there, just the word is, but it's using the word, it's guarding, okay, it's weeding, it's watering, with the right things. It's planting. So it's weeding, and then it's planting. If we just try to do the weeding, it's not going to go very far. It's not going to do much. So, and our efforts in that way are very, very important. Galatians 6:7-8 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Have you ever put that verse in the context of your thinking? We usually think of that in terms of our actions, right? But definitely, and that eternal life is an eternal kind of life. So the good news is that God has not left us without his help, okay, to do this, his gracious patience in this. He's not left us without teaching us how, and we're going to get to that tomorrow, to actually renew our hearts and our minds one thought at a time. It's very basically a matter of putting off and putting on, isn't it? In a specific and a concrete way. You know, Ephesians 4:20, it's putting off the old man, putting on the new according to the righteousness of God, right? So taking the old thought to task, determining a renewed thought / prayer, it should be a prayer, committing to pull up the old one and speak truth to your heart whenever the thought arises, okay? So it's an over and over thing. So tomorrow we'll have some good resources, some encouragement in this, and some specific resources for you. But tonight, the important thing is that we just really embrace, or we be encouraged yet again, on the importance of renewing our mind. Between tonight and tomorrow, see if you can write down some thoughts that seem to be reoccurring in your life, in what you're saying in your heart, and that you know, if you stop and think about it, they're actually void of God's truth or contradictory to the Lord and His truth. So what troubles you? What are you your thoughts about what troubles you? So try to write those down and think of those tomorrow night. I want to encourage you that don't just write them down, because if you just write them down and think about them, you're going to get depressed. But if you, what I want you to do is write, try to write them down, and then turn to the Lord, give them to the Lord, and thank Him that He has given you a way to change them and renew them, and that can happen. So I think we're done, and I hope that what we set out to do has happened, that you are just struck that this is more important than we tend to make it in our lives. It's very important to God and very important to our lives. So I would like to pray and then let you all go. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this evening. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you know exactly what we need. You know exactly how to change our messed up thinking and my messed up life, Lord. You gave just what was needed to renew, to transform, and to to see things differently and to walk differently. And Lord, this is what we need every day. We don't once renew our minds and then it's all fine. Lord, we need you every day to help us to think about what that inner commentary is, and help us, Lord, to turn to you and bring you into it and think about what is true that we can bring into our thoughts. I thank you for each one here, and I just pray, Lord, that you would assist them in the renewing of their minds. Assist all of us, Lord. Thank you for your promise of help and your grace, Lord, as we seek to do what you've asked us to do in this area. It's in your name I pray, and I thank you. Amen.